Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wes, it feels good to be on the bye and have a dub in our back pocket. Good to have you back on, my friend. What do you think the difference was last week? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, from one week to the next, we look like a completely different team.
Yeah, made plays. That's the first thing that comes to mind, Carl. I thought, you know, they made plays really on both sides of the ball, but I thought they did a really nice job of, you know, trying to keep things in front of them defensively that they did not do in Carolina, obviously, the week before. I'm still got some, you know, I hate to be the downer on the bye week here. I still got some concerns about where they are special teams wise.
Oh, yeah.
Especially covering returns and returns. But it was good to see Jamal Agnew back out there again. And then I thought offensively they stayed pretty balanced. I thought, you know, obviously Bijan was getting ready to have an unbelievable day if he had 25 more rushing yards to become the first Falcon player ever to go 100 rush and 100 receiving in a game, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But I thought they did a really good job of balancing things out. Now, whether that was change of location for Zach and, you know, the community of the game and things of that nature, we'll see. But you know what? Given when they, you know, played so poorly in Charlotte, for them to come back and have that kind of effort, I thought across the board was really encouraging. Now, you know, this is an early bye week, and it's a long bye week. I mean, this is going to be a long trip. It's 15 days from games. And when you think about it, that's the longest break they're going to have potentially unless they go, well, it'd be longer than the break from the championship game to the Super Bowl if they were to get that far. So, you know, you got to make sure you got everything in order. And I think Raheem got into that a little bit in his Monday comments because of, you know, they got some decisions to make, Storm Norton, Troy Anderson, all these things that have to kind of come back around in terms of the roster. They still got to do some things from a roster standpoint, I think, here in the next couple of weeks as well. So there'll be plenty of things for us to keep an eye on prior to the Monday night game against Buffalo.
It is our man Wes Durham talking about the Falcons. Yeah, I mean, I love that Zach got down on the sideline and that seemed to streamline communication and the flow was there, the execution. Arch talked about it. You know, he kind of scolded us or me for, you know, belly aching about the pistol. But, you know, I still don't like it. But, hey, it's definitely bore fruit. And when it works, when guys do their job. I just want to see more Pitts because I don't think Mooney's healthy. By the way, with that long bye you talk about, good for AJ, you know, Terrell getting back. But offensively,
yeah, no question.
I need more Pitts. Drake looked the best he's looked since the first half against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think, and Darnell's situation is, you know, and certainly this is going to help, Mike, right? I mean, you're going to have this gap in the game, so we'll see where he is when he comes back. I will share this. I don't know what this is, if it was a centric deal with Washington and the way they lined up in single high and all that, but I don't hate Robinson out wide. I don't hate that at all.
Love it.
As long as you got the bowling ball of razor blades in the backfield, I really don't hate it. Because I think that's more weaponry than most can account for. I really do. I think there are a lot of things you can do. You've seen them draw Robinson back into the backfield, kind of orbit him around and do things like that. So, look, I think there's a lot more stuff on the whiteboard in the office of Zach Robinson as it relates to those two guys. I hope Darnell can get back. I really do. Now, I am encouraged by Casey Washington coming back, and I hope he can stay healthy because when that guy goes on a straight line, he goes in a hurry. And he can leave some people. So we'll see where it gets. But, yeah, I'm a little concerned about Darnell and just the, you know, can he put back-to-back years together? That's kind of the – if you go back and look at his chronology of his career, it's been tough for him to stay healthy for the full go year to year sometimes. So let's keep our fingers crossed we can get him back toward 100%.
Wes, what about the bounce back of our quarterback, man? I mean, you talk about how mentally strong this kid is. He did not let any of that negativity affect him at all.
No, he didn't hear all those things Mike was saying.
Well, hey, I love panics. Everyone has a bad day.
Everybody has a bad day. Even you, Mike, occasionally.
Occasionally.
Look, I think Carl and Mike, I know this gets kind of glossed over a little bit. He played a lot of college football, guys. Yeah. I mean, a lot of college football. And dealt with season-ending injuries two times in his career. Actually, two and a half if you go back and count it all up. I think he is able to process reality pretty quick. And I think that was what we saw Sunday. I think he knows he didn't play well in Charlotte. He knows they didn't play well in Charlotte. Remember the story in training camp about the interception in the red zone drill?
Yes.
And how he went over off to the side. It was down kind of staring at the ground and not happy at all about the whole exchange and everything else, how he underthrew the ball, right? That to me was the time when I saw him go to a place where he had to reorganize him. And I'm guessing that's probably what a lot of last week was about reorganizing him. Look, nobody liked the interception he threw to the kid in the flat in Charlotte, and he didn't like it most of all. And so I think that's who he is at his core, and the performance on Sunday kind of stands up to the things that, you know, if you go back and look at his college career statistically, he didn't have too many bad games in a row. And that's something I think we can hope to see, you know, as long as he's in Atlanta as the starting quarterback. And I think he's got an incredibly bright future. The other thing is this, too. He never rides too high and too low that you know of. Now, he may do that behind closed doors or in meeting rooms with coaches and things like that. But on the surface, Michael Penix does not – he doesn't burn real hot and he doesn't burn cold. And I think that's a great quality to have in the NFL as a quarterback.
Talking with our man Wes Durham about the Falcons, guys. And now, as we said, the bye week for the offense flying high, defense certainly have a big job. We got plenty of time next week to talk about corralling Josh Allen. But, you know, it's not like the Buffalo Bills are an elite defense, Wes. If you look at, I know, cause I told Carl, I got them in my fantasy league, so I know what they do and what they don't do. So if we, you know, can just handle it.
You got their defense on your fantasy team?
Well, I didn't really pay attention on it. They've certainly been.
What, were you drunk during the draft?
They were dropped
first against the run.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, I prioritize other things. I always, you know, I go for kickers.
Like what?
Well, not that. By the time there was a run, I was picking freaking. You want me to break down my whole effing draft, Wes? I was picking 10th. Okay, all the defenses went.
Don't you know what all the consultants say, Mike? Nobody cares about your fantasy team, right, Carl?
That's right. That's right.
Nobody cares about your team.
Anyway, but no. Bills will be there, but and they got James Cook, but the receiver core is kind of a group of dudes that are, you know, they're clutch, but they're not like elite as Kirby would say. So I'll take a puncher's chance. The question will be, can we just match them scoring wise? Because they average 30.
Yeah, they do. And the thing about it is, you're right about defensively, one way they're really bad and the other way they're really good. So, I mean, they're the number one pass defense in terms of yardage. And they're worse. They're second to last in terms of rushing defense. But you're right about the scoring. And, you know, their point differential right now and their yard differential is interesting. But here's the deal. They've got one of the best cubes in the league, if not the best QB in the league. He's the MVP, so he is the best one, at least in terms of where we are right now. And they're 400 yards a game. So you're going to get them on a Monday night. You're also going to get them, I think, and you're going to have to play well in all three phases. This is kind of the whole, I guess, when you play somebody like this, you're going to have to do everything right and not give them any free shots. And I think that's one of the things you have to keep in mind in this about playing somebody of Buffalo's ilk is you cannot go and say, okay, no plus field turnovers, no miscues, no missteps in the kicking game, field goals, punt cover, kick cover, kick return, punt return, all those things. I just think that's a big part of winning a game like this at this particular time for a team that has two different dynamics to it, one that's consistently been to the playoffs and one that's trying to get back to the playoffs. And, look, it'll be a big challenge, and you're right, we got a ton of time, 10 days or so, 12 days, I guess, now to talk about it. But I also think it's probably the right time to find out if you're ready for that stage, too, if you're Raheem in this team. And for Michael, because realistically, since the game in Washington in Week 17 last year, this will be the next biggest game he's played is against the guy – of Allen's capability and a group offensively that can go get it like they can.
Before we get to some college, I want to give you a compliment. You don't have to say anything, but Mike and I love this call. I think our audience loved the call, and that was Tyler Allgeier getting in the end zone. Wes, this is how it sounded, guys.
Allgeier's coming to the ballgame. Bijan had to replace the tearaway. I'm just kidding. Washington threw the formation. They give it to Allgeier. Uh-oh, Tyler breaking free. 10-5 shoulder. Touchdown!
Oh,
Atlanta! Check the license plate, Jeremy Reeves.
Man, he ran him over.
I texted Wes when I got a chance to hear it because I heard Steakhouse replay it on Monday. That was gold.
It really was. Let's talk. Right. What's up? What's up?
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Thank you.
No doubt.
Very kind.
Look, we love you guys calling these games. What's going to happen this weekend? Mike is antsy. I got to tell you.
About Miami and Florida State?
Yes. He's like, because again, they looked really good. They had a letdown. Mike said this though last week. He said he kept telling me all week, watch out, trap game, and they lose. You've got number three Miami. A lot of people are not believing that Miami's this good. Here's a perfect opportunity to prove not only are they this good, but they are going to be in the national championship contention conversation. What do you think?
Oh, I think, well, there's one thing about Miami that, you know, you can walk with, and that is it's the best combination of offensive and defensive lines the ACC has. Mm. I mean, they're the best offensive line and the best defensive line in the ACC. They may have the best player in the ACC in Reuben Bain at defensive end. I mean, he's been so good since he showed up, and he's only gotten better. But this is a game where the stage is now set. If Florida State wants to get back in this thing, this is a game they have to win. I think they're capable of winning it. They can't win it with one person. They might be able to win it on one play. It has to be a little bit like I was talking about the Falcons a moment ago. They have to be better defensively than they were the other night against Virginia, where they surrendered a bunch of rushing yards, because they've got Mark Fletcher. They've got Marty Brown. They've got a combination of guys at Miami who can run the football behind the previously mentioned line. Here's the other thing, too. The guy at quarterback, the people that remember him at Athens, everything I've been told and everything I was exposed to when I talked to him in July for a show we did on ACC Network, he is a different guy now. And I can't speak to all the stuff in Athens. I wasn't covering him then. But I will tell you this. He has done a terrific job in leadership at Miami, and that's been a big part of their success. I think it's going to be a hell of a game because I think the Doak will be lit. I think the game has got a lot of twists and turns to it. If it comes down to a kick, that's really going to get interesting, not only historically, but just in the current state of things.
Right.
And I think it's going to be pretty close. I really do. I thought Florida State was in trouble the other night before the game only because Virginia was an unknown commodity. And no matter what you tell anybody in Tallahassee, they probably didn't think Virginia was that good. Mm. And they are. Virginia, I don't know that Virginia's going to win 10 games, Carl and Mike, but they've got Brett Favre light at quarterback, and they've got three legitimate running backs and an offensive line that's full from the portal. And I think it makes them pretty good. And then Florida State didn't play perfect.
Yeah. And by the way, Wes, first game that Gus Malzahn, I'm sorry to cut you off, first game that Gus really didn't have an answer for a team blitzing as far as Castellanos reacting.
Yeah, and John Brzezinski, the defensive coordinator at Virginia, nobody knows who that is unless they follow a lot of football. John's got talented guys. He's got a transfer from Tennessee Tech and Rickard, who's a little bit of an undersized guy who can pressure quarterbacks off the edge and things like that. And the linebackers are steady, and the secondary's not brutal. Virginia's vastly improved because, shocking, the resources came in, Carl. Mm-hmm. Virginia started spending money.
Right.
And so one thing led to another. It's not a terrible loss for Florida State. It's regarded nationally as a terrible loss, but it's not because I think Virginia's going to have a good year. But this is the game now. This is the stage of two basically top 12 teams now. It should have been two top 7 teams had Florida State won the game, playing on the ACC's biggest night in terms of their regular season, I think.
You're right. It's basically, Carl, it's a chance to play in the playoffs or it's Cheez-It Bowl for the Seminoles. That's kind of what's happening. Hey, real quick, Wes, I know we got to roll.
Don't misstep. Don't misstep Saturday night.
And you,
Mike, that's
you,
the other thing.
You saw enough Tech games over your career. I was afraid they were going to have like a trap game of its own against Wake. But some ACC officiating was a bit sketchy in both Florida State and Georgia Tech games last week. But good win for Brent to see it through in Haynes King's machine.
No question. But here's the thing. The neutral zone penalty certainly was a missed call. They went to review on a first half incomplete pass. They called it an incomplete pass, and it was a fumble. It was the college version of the tuck rule. And the kid, Robbie Ashford, was trying to pull the ball back in. So in my world, those penalties offset one another. And Wake got a field goal out of it. And what was the difference in the game when Tech got the call, the no call in the neutral zone? It was a field goal. So it all kind of works itself out. But Brent and his team have great mental fortitude. They are, you think about the Colorado game, you think about falling behind early against Gardner-Webb. They've got enough experience. And now they've got to, you know, take that deep breath because they don't have much of a break after this week when they have the off week before. And Virginia Tech now, believe it or not, interim coach, they went to Raleigh and won the other night, and they got Wake Forest on Saturday. Virginia Tech could come in here winners of two.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight, well, three straight if you count the Wofford game, playing in Atlanta next Saturday afternoon at 3:30.
Wes, where are you at this weekend, by the way? What college game?
I'm going to Dallas to see Syracuse and SMU on Saturday afternoon.
Okay, all right. That's going to be an interesting
one. I just got word this afternoon that I get two home games next weekend. I'm doing Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech next Saturday afternoon at Grant Field. Oh, nice. I'm sorry, the aforementioned corporate name field.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome, man. Well, right, we got on Monday Night Football. It should be fun. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Thanks again.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you soon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.